You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for Friday, July 27th. Preseason scheduled announced includes Kawhi. Well, maybe. Donovan Mitchell. Kevin Love, Tobias Harris news. And ESPN Power Ratings, plus a live Facebook edition with your questions, all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers on the Utah Jazz. You can get it on iTunes, the new Google Podcast app on your Android phone, or you can tell your good friends Alexa or Google to play the podcast Locked On Jazz. All right, look forward to interacting with everybody on Facebook Live today as well. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, The Store, and Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. I spent the week in Philadelphia at a podcast convention. One of the big takeaways I had was that the Facebook group format could allow our amazing community to really interact and do some fun things. So I have launched the Locked On Jazz Facebook group. If I understand it correctly, I'll continue to play with it here for a little while. One of the things that I think we can do with it is if I build some video after games of key plays, look at key plays, we can actually watch it together. It also, if I understand it correctly, should allow you guys to all interact together. And we have this amazing group and this big audience. And so hopefully that is going to allow for kind of some interaction and allow you guys to post. And it should be a good thing. So we have one new member to the group. There are now two members to the group. There's me and me. Yeah. So that's, you know, all right. So there's nobody on the group. All right. Let's get to it. So first thing, preseason schedule came out yesterday, kind of fun again, five games. We've shortened up the preseason and I kind of like what the Jazz have done here. We're going to have such an interesting preseason with all of our players back, everyone knowing exactly who they are, what the systems are. Quinn's got some adjustments he's working on. He's going to change up and change the way we do some things. He'll be able to implement them right away. So I think that'll be interesting. The three home games, two of them against Australian teams, which are always fun, allow you to in a no-stress environment, try those things. I really like, so you have the Perth Wildcats, who are, you know, they're probably not good, but it's basically a scrimmage. You're getting to implement on September 29th, pretty soon after training camp's probably been only open for a week. I would guess that means training camp opens the Monday before. Then you play the Raptors, who are coming at you, and you try to see whether it's actually working. Then you adjust and fix everything against the Adelaide 36ers. And then you go on the road for two for October 7th against Portland and October 11th against Sacramento. And so I think that's a pretty good way to structure your preseason when you only have five games. It's hard to get these games scheduled. The whole Australian tour is happening across the league, and I think as maybe teams are finding they prefer that. It's their version of playing, you know, Montana State, if they're a Division I Pac-12 team, in the Weber State in the opening game of the season. So that, to me, seems like a pretty good way to structure it, and frankly, it just gets me excited because September 29th is only 2 months away, right? Like, we're only 2 months away from having basketball again, which maybe is long, but feels like it's coming up on us. So pretty excited about that. Don't want to overanalyze it. Will be fun to see Kawhi. The road games, I would assume, will come home in between those two road games. So you have two road trips. But, I mean, but our training camp is going to be unique in that everybody is back. The roster is fairly well set. Pending somebody doing something really remarkable, we certainly know who our top 14 or at least 13 are. And so that is that's kind of just, you know, there's nothing too tricky to it. So let's move past that. Interesting experience for me to be. I was in Philadelphia outside of an NBA crowd. So I was at this big podcast convention. And I, you know, I was not there as a employee of the Utah Jazz, though I always am. And it was interesting when it came up how immediately the conversation is Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell. I mean, this guy is just truly a bona fide, blown up star. Fans who are not huge basketball fans, as the conversations would continue, it became clear to me that they weren't, you know, the largest fan, the greatest basketball fans in the world, but they knew Donovan Mitchell. And is he real? Is he really like that? That was the number one question. Is he going to be that good again? Was the number two question. And the answer to both those seemed to be yes. That yes, everything about him is real. And everything about him leads you to believe that he's working to get himself ready and he's going to be the same. There'll be an interesting pressure on him this year. I think there'll be some up and downs. I think he'll forget naturally how many times he failed last year and how many times he had a bad game. Particularly, I'm sure nobody has mentioned to him that he's had a bad game in quite some time. And so he'll think to himself that when he has a bad game, you know, he'll have a sequence of two or three bad games and probably really struggle with that concept. More than he did last year when he was just learning, because he probably thinks he's supposed to be perfect this year and feels the pressure to be perfect this year. But that's to some extent the reality of what happens when you become a star. But very interesting to me, just in a group of people that are not major basketball fans, wasn't my NBA circles, was a bunch of podcasters, that Donovan Mitchell. He is just has to be one of the biggest talked about names in the league at this point. It'll be interesting to see when the NBA schedule comes out here, and probably last year came out on August 12th. Last year came out on Monday, August 14th. Is whether or not and how the NBA, whether Donovan gets us more TV time. I think that will be, you know, worth keeping an eye on. Of whether or not that's true. Interesting pictures. Donovan was out with James Harden somewhere in Europe. I think he was in Spain with Ricky Rubio. He is just taking... I don't think the kid sits still very well. I think that's the first part. He's taking advantage of his fame to go have a bunch of life experiences and seeing a bunch of people. Give him credit as well. I don't know why I think this picture of Donovan Mitchell is in Spain, by the way, with, because he tagged it as Barcelona, Spain. Looked like Johnny Bryant is there, by the way, also, and then he was spending some time with Ricky Rubio as well, so kind of cool. The other one the most recent post he had was him back in Salt Lake City at the University of Utah, doing his workouts. So he is back in town. He's spending a bunch of time here. He's bouncing around. But Donovan Mitchell should be bouncing around, frankly. That's where he is and what he gets to do in life. Took his SB the other day. So I think it's great and can't be more excited for him. Some interesting kind of news happened during the week. We talked about the Kawhi Leonard trade on the last show I did. So we'll check in. Kevin Love deal. What does that tell us? Tobias Harris turning it down. Jazz 7 the power rankings and taking all of your questions coming up. Today's show in part brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. I'm driving the Colorado right now diesel. Pretty amazing. Really, honestly, for the price of what you can get, I'm the summer truck. I thought the winter truck would be what I loved when I had the Silverado, and the Silverado is just blow your mind, luxury, smooth ride. I think that some of these truck drivers think they're all tough and big and studly because they have a truck and been faking us out this whole time, frankly, with the truck thing, because because the Silverado is like the biggest luxury car I've ever driven in my life. It's so fun. The Colorado is just cool. It's just useful. smooth ride. The diesel gives a good pickup, great power, good price, and up to $11,000 off on a 2018 Silverado LT Crew Cab right now. Also, elsewhere at Murdoch Chevy, 2.47% financing. That's through the month of July, and a 2018 Trax all-wheel drive for just $19,990. That Crew Cab I mentioned, $349 month a lease on that. Car washes for life, safety inspections for life, five-day exchange policy, famous price match guarantee. Find new roads at Murdoch Chevy in Logan and in Woods Cross. Santa Tyson for me. The show also brought to you by The Store. All right, we are having a major cookie debate here, by the way, from everyone. I'm loving the when I get the messages that say that, hey, I checked out The Store, and I've experienced The Store now, and I've had my mudslide cookie. I'm a little concerned about some of the people that are sending me notes saying that there are other cookies better than the mudslide cookie. I'm worried about you. This might have to be a Facebook group discussion, frankly. The Store is over at 6200 South and 20th East. They've got a Kavita kombucha special, 2 for $5, going on right now. And right next to The Store is Cottonwood Ace. They're kind of connected to each other, actually, on the backside. That is the best Traeger lineup of grills and pellets and everything else. So stop by and check that out over at the Cottonwood Ace. Store right now is a great setup of meats. The marinated beef London broil, the Texas smoky barbecue pork tenderloin, the sweet and hot chicken breasts, the teriyaki chicken tenders, the corned beef brisket, the marinated beef tenders, the Santa Maria beef tri-tip. They're all there, plus the combo pizza rounders. Check it all out. Plus, of course, June pies come in on Friday mornings. That means right now, so stop by and get your June pie at 6200 South, 20th East at The Store, and stop by and see the biggest Traeger setup next door at Cottonwood Ace. All right, so Kevin Love signs a mammoth contract. And Kevin Love is a player that many of us had on, can the Jazz go get Kevin Love? Can the Jazz go get Kevin Love? And it's pretty interesting that he gets this contract extension, which backs up the fact that he seriously was probably never available for 1 minute. A lot of the Jazz offseason moves are becoming more and more clear as kind of, well, what about this? What about that? And honestly, I like Kevin Love an awful lot, and maybe this is just what the market is. But boy, Kevin Love, $145 million over 5 years. I mean, I actually think it makes more sense if the Jazz were to pay him that than I do if the Cavaliers to pay him that. And I'm not even sure I'd want the Jazz to pay him that. But what I mean by that is I think Kevin Love, and maybe I've just forgotten how great he was in Minnesota, but I also know exactly how many games they won in Minnesota, is that Kevin Love is a compliment, would be a wonderful complimentary player to Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. But I'm thinking, that's an awful lot to be paying your complimentary player in that equation. So the other one is I'm not totally sold on Kevin Love. Like, the back is a real issue. His movement is a real issue. His health is a real, the back leads to health. It's really an interesting discussion. There was a very good debate that took place in the Locked On Podcast Network about whether you'd rather have Kevin Love or Blake Griffin. I thought it was a really good debate. It took place. It might have been on Locked On Pistons. I think that's where I heard it. I downloaded a bunch of them and listened on the plane. But so you see that, and then Tobias Harris, maybe reacting off Kevin Love a little bit, has turned down a 4-year, $80 million deal. Now, Tobias Harris probably is right that's going to be the number he get. You know, he can get that in the open market. It is interesting that he turns that down. I mean, it's a pretty good deal, right? Like, turning that $80 million is hard. And it makes me wonder what the Clippers do with him. If the Clippers don't have a great year, and I think the Clippers are probably a little better than people realize. Is what do the Clippers do with him at the trade deadline? And then if you know he's going to cost $20 million and you want him in the offseason, trading for him becomes a very valuable piece because you now have his bird rights. And so if I'm a team that doesn't have cap space going into next season and I'm interested in Tobias Harris, I am all over trading for him rather than trying to go get him free agent if I don't have cap space, because then I can go get him. So at 27 years old, or he just turned 26, he'll be 27 next year, starting the season, having averaged 19 points a game for, you know, he's an interesting piece. The game is moving in his direction. It's funny, when he got drafted out of Tennessee at the 19th pick, he was very much the tweener. You were wondering whether or not he could play the three or a four, or what is he? And the game has certainly moved his direction. I think this will be an interesting year to watch him as a lead dog for an entire year on a Clipper team that's not terrible, and see if he's maybe better than, you know, he and Gordon Hayward were very similar players for a lot of their career, and then Gordon took the jump, and maybe Tobias is about to take that same all-star caliber jump. ESPN came out with their early season power rankings and had the Jazz as 7th. I don't have a huge quibble with it. I do think the Jazz were the 5th best team in the league last year. Maybe the 3rd best team in the league. And so they have Golden State as 1, Boston is 2, Houston is 3, Philadelphia is 4, Toronto is 5, Oklahoma City is 6, and the Jazz is 7. Pretty hard to quibble with. Right, I think Oklahoma City got better without Carmelo, frankly. I actually like Luau Okorobo. See if that can turn out for him. I don't know if New Orleans Noel will work out, but I think that's probably a better team. I think Houston is less good. And I'm not entirely sure that I think that Philadelphia deserves, at 52 wins in the East of the Jazz, 48 wins, to be above the Jazz. Like, I'm not sure I saw anything about them. And I think that they lost some pieces, right? Like, Wilson Chandler is a player who, at this point in his career, I think the idea of Wilson Chandler might be better than the reality of Wilson Chandler. I like Mike Muscala a little bit. I actually like the kid Johan Bolden that they added. But, I think losing Ilyasova and Bellinelli hurts them a little bit. I actually like Rashawn Holmes a little bit. So they'll get better because Embiid, but they also got good health out of Embiid last year, and you would assume that Simmons gets better. I do think Houston has taken a significant drop. I like DeAnthony Melton, but losing Bob Mute and losing Trevor Ariza and then adding Carmelo are significant declines. So it's hard to quibble. I thought it was really interesting. Denver is their 8th team. They added Isaiah Thomas, and I don't know what that means. But it's interesting to me that Denver's 8, and that Minnesota was 15th, and I'm not sure why on that. Minnesota was the 3rd best team in the Western Conference all of last year, until Jimmy Butler got hurt. And they traded basically Bielitsa for Tolliver, so I guess they got less good, but unless they're just not getting along at all, I think that's one of the elite offensive teams in the league, and that's much better than 15th. I was a bit surprised by that. And then New Orleans dropped from 8th to 12th, and I actually think New Orleans got better. So I was a little surprised on that as well. All right, let me get to some of your questions. Hello to James Scott. He is here. Glad to have you. Matt Moon, where are you? Says Andy. I think he shows up later. I think I saw it out of the corner of my eye. Good morning, Whit. How are you, Whit? How do you feel about the crazy Laker team? I don't love the Laker team, and then I project the Laker team, and then I remember LeBron's on the Laker team, and then I change my projection. So none of it makes any sense to me. It won't come out well in any of my numbers, I don't think. I haven't run my pack. I'll do that. Maybe next week's the time to already do that. I'll run some of my pack stuff and try to see where the projections are for next year. We're going to do the Cafe Rio interview series in August, where I sit down with various people who cover the Jazz and around the Jazz and do some long-form interviews for you with them. That's probably 3 days a week next week, and we'll have those interviews for you starting next week. But I don't love that Laker team. I don't really see it except for LeBron. Like, and then the idea that LeBron's not a 50-win player seems insane. So that's a pretty complicated question in that you're looking at. All right. Hello to Bobby. Adam Williams says, send the link to invite people. You know, that would be a really, really smart idea to do that. I will do something of the sort when I can find it. I have to figure out how you, like, what the link is, and I'm on the inside of it right now. So, but yeah, should be fun to have that link for everybody to interact with on the Locked On Jazz page. From Andy, who's always been good to the show. Now that we saw him for a year, what's the best comp you've heard for Donovan, and do you have one for Royce? All right, I'll answer that in just a second, but I do want to tell you, Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate is the realtor of the Locked On Jazz podcast. He's been really good to multiple people around the Locked On Jazz world over the recent time. He's been with us for the kind of this whole run of Locked On Jazz. Devin takes the viewpoint of being a real estate agent with the mindset of a teacher, which is really cool. And what's really cool about it is when everybody who's used Devin Cash has come back and said the exact same thing. You can reach Devin at 801-759-1495. Talking to Devin recently, the one thing he wanted to make sure you knew is it takes less to get into a house than you probably think. The surveys show people have a great misunderstanding of what it is going to take for you to get into that house, and Devin wants to show you what you might be able to do. He'll also do a market analysis of your current home if you're not a first-time home buyer, so you can understand what the value is and look at the marketplace. He'll do that for you for free. Plus, if you sell or buy your home with Devin Cash, he'll give you two Jazz free season tickets, or the equivalent, since there's like no Jazz season tickets available right now. They're virtually sold out. There's like eight left is what I heard. 801-759-1495. That's 801-759-1495. Donovan Mitchell comp, quite honestly, it's not mine, somebody gave this to me, is Allen Iverson. I mean, maybe it may be a different version of Allen Iverson, but I think he's Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson won an MVP. Allen Iverson took his team to the finals. Allen Iverson was a bona fide scorer. There was kind of a one, kind of a two. For some reason, you bring this up and people kind of go bananas. Allen Iverson scored 30 points a game, five different times in his NBA, six different times in his NBA career. He wasn't always the most efficient. I'm not sure Donovan's always going to be the most efficient. The three is a different game. Iverson was above his top before his time taking four, but Donovan's going to take 8 to 9 a game. So that to me is the player, a will to win, a commitment. This is all positive to me. I don't know that he's going to be the just kind of the Energizer Bunny. I mean, I think Iverson led the league in minutes 5 or 6 times. Iverson was incredible, but and I don't know that he's going to be able to get to the free throw line 9 times a game like Iverson. But I think we're talking about a Hall of Famer here. I think that's the most exciting comp that I can give you. For Royce O'Neal, physical wing defender who's an average shooter, who's not a good finisher right now, that would be the next step for him, is becoming a better finisher. I mean, Royce still only shot 42% from the field, 36% from threes, okay. Comp player. You know, I mean, if we're really, this is one of those times where as a hometown fan, we start putting like bigger comps on him. And I didn't mean to, but I'm going back to that same Philadelphia 76er team. Like, I don't think he's as good as Aaron McKee, but he might be Aaron McKee. I mean, actually, that might be about right. Aaron McKee shot about 35% from three, 43% from the field. He was 6'5", 209. That actually probably is the perfect comp for him. He would love that. Aaron McKee had like a 14-year NBA career. Was a first-round draft pick. But I think that's the type of player you're talking about at best-case scenario. I don't have maybe Royce is going to be able to do some really incredible things physically beyond that that I'm not expecting. But hard to comp some of those guys. I mean, Royce does a pretty good job of handling and passing. He's got to do a better job of finishing. He's not a self-creator. But want him on my team. And as I've talked about, I think that defensive value is really, really underestimated in the league. What bench player could have the most impactful role this year? Dante. Like, Dante's the one who's still got the upside and got the chance to do things. It says I have to accept some people into the group. Didn't know that, but I will do that. Is in a trade, the dollars have to be within a certain percentage. How much is a first-round pick worth in a trade? I'm not sure it has a number value in a trade unless there's a player attached to it. That's my quick answer. Somebody will correct me. My salary cap knowledge is slipping. The new deal has buckled me. I just never have caught up and learned the new deal the way I should. Any chance we get Booker back? Just got on and don't know if it's already been asked. Love your show. It has not been asked. Is there a reason why it should be asked? I don't know what. How does Trevor Booker fit into our rotation? I mean, he's a great dude, and so that would be a fab. Has it been talked about? I don't. It doesn't seem like a mix to our lineup and how we're playing in any fashion other than what an incredible dude Trevor Booker is. And so that's probably what you're playing there. Tony Jones tweeted out, sorry, I just missed this, on July 1st that the Jazz reached out to Trevor Booker. Trevor Booker's time would be great because he's Trevor Booker. From a basketball standpoint, I don't see on how the roster fits right now. I see Derek, Tabo, and Jay Crowder as your fours, unless Trevor's becomes a backup five. But when you add, that's Epe Udo as your third backup five. So I don't really see where that mix matches entirely. Hey, great show. We'll be back with you Monday. I'll try to get to the rest of your questions. I super appreciate you. Glad to be back doing this, and we'll get rolling next week with some of our interview features. I'm going to reach out to Tony and some of the other guys that cover the team to talk about the Utah Jazz, and we'll have that coming up for you here on Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, new Facebook group called Locked On Jazz. Join it. And, yeah, I just got answered one for James Scott. I approve James Scott. I will approve all of you. So the Locked On Jazz Facebook group should be a fun way for us to all interact, have good communication. Allows us to do some fun things with video, if I understand this correctly. So that should be great. And remember, you can use Alexa or Google to listen to this podcast as well. Have a great day. See you.